do for us. God's word is a wonderful gift to us from God. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word as we read the entire first psalm, which is 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that are left us through your word. Lord, I pray that this morning you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And Lord, I pray that your word would be alive to us today. Open our understanding that we may grasp your truth and begin to delight ourselves in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this passage, the first thing that he tells us is that we are blessed through the word. We have a tremendous blessing that God has for us in the word of God. And so let's look at that blessing. He says in verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man. And notice he tells us what kind of man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so there is that adherence to the word of God, that love for the word of God that brings a blessing to us. So let's look at that blessing. That blessing comes when we agree with the word of God. You know, it's not enough just to read the word of God, but we must learn to agree with the word of God. And why would we agree with it? It's because it's true. God's word is true. Till we understand that, God's word will not be a blessing to us. It will be a hindrance to us. As a matter of fact, we will get to the place where we don't want to read God's word because it is so disagreeable to us. But when we begin to agree with the word of God, we begin to see that God's word is precious to us, then there is a blessing for us. Psalm 19, 7 through 10 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect." You ever thought about that? The law of the Lord is perfect. So many times, God says, thou shalt not, and we say, boy, I wish he'd change his mind about that. I kind of like to do that, and so because I like to do that, I wish God would just change his mind about it so I can do it and not feel bad about it. But you see, that's not the attitude of the blessed. He says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word converting means to change. The Lord knows we need to have a change in our mind, will, and emotions, don't we? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, changing the mind, will, and emotions to what God wants them to be, what God designed us to have. Because of the fall, we lost a lot of stuff, and God wants to put us back right again by adjusting our soul, and that happens when we begin to realize that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is exactly what we need. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now understand, when we begin to realize that there's things missing in our life. There are things that are not just right with our thought processes, that we tend to do things that get us in trouble. You know, sin may be fun for a little while, but the problems that go along with it last a whole lot longer than the pleasure of sin. And in order for us to align ourselves with God, something has to change on the inside. We can take a thief and put him in a cage and he can't steal anything, but we haven't fixed the problem. He's still a thief. You can do all kinds of stuff on the outside to try to solve the problem. What we need is a change in the heart. And that change comes when we begin to look at the Word of God as something that can really fix our problem. And we begin to align ourselves, not justifying sin, not saying, well, it's okay to do this, it's all right to do that because of this. See, when we do that to our own hurt. It's not. You can justify just about anything you want to justify. Amen? You can justify it. But when you do that, you hurt yourself. What we need is to have the problem fixed. And we do that when we begin to say, God's Word's where it's at. And I'm going to align myself with the Word of God. Psalm 119, 41 through 48 says this. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Now notice what he's saying here. I'm going to align myself with the word. I realize that the word is truth. I realize that it is what I need to solve my problem. It is the instruction manual that will bring me back into the right way. And so I'm going to align myself with it. Now, how do I do that? Whenever we are tempted to turn away from what God has told us to do, that's when we make the choice. We can make the choice now and say, this is what I'm going to do. But when we get to that point, when the temptation comes, that's when we decide. Are we going to follow the Lord or follow our own desires? When we begin to align ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to say, I will follow the Lord. And we do it step by step, little by little. We'll see a change start to happen in our lives. You see, God programs us and transforms us into the image of His Son when we submit ourselves to Him. But there has to be that submission. We cannot just expect God to change everything until we're willing to be changed. As long as we're justifying our sin will continue. We'll either be conformed to this world or we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It will all come down to whether or not we are aligning ourselves with God or aligning ourselves with our sinful nature. The desires of the heart will always lead us away from God until God fixes the desires in our heart. God tells us that we are to abide. That's where the blessings are at. We abide in Him. You see, everything that has to do with our relationship to God is in Christ Jesus. Have you seen that in the Word? It's always in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus tells us, abide with me. Don't leave. Stay here. Because if you leave, the blessings stay behind. And God wants us to be blessed. And that's the reason He tells us, you abide with me. And if we abide with Christ, then the blessings just keep on continuing in our lives. Listen to what He says here in John 15, the first 11 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And notice, if we are abiding in Christ, he's going to continually be purging us and cleansing us. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now the blessing of the Lord is upon all those who abide in Christ. The only way to live the Christian life is in Jesus. Now we can wander off. We have the freedom. You know, the story of the prodigal son tells us that there is that freedom to walk away. As a Christian, we can say to the Lord, I want to run my own life. I want to do my own thing. I don't want you telling me what to do. And we walk away. But when we do, we walk out from under the blessing of the Lord. And folks, you've all known people who have done that and have reaped the consequences of that, and it's a horrible consequence. And God puts the story of the prodigal son there so that we can see how that comes out. We don't have to play it out in our own life. We can just see what happens. The prodigal son went away, and he ended up losing everything and was going to start eating slop with the hogs. Finally came to himself, went back to the Father. Now you see, we can avoid all that because God invites us to abide in him. Now, how do we do that? We abide in Christ one decision at a time. Jesus said that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common unto man. And God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Every temptation has a way of escape. And so every decision that we make, we must ask ourselves, what's the right, what's the wrong? And when we know what the right is and we know what the wrong is, we must choose the right. You say that sounds real simple. The reason that it is hard is because we have a sinful nature that desires to do what's wrong. And if we give in to that, then we're going to mess our whole life up. Even if there wasn't a heaven or a hell, the best way to live is abiding in Christ. Because that's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. Jesus said, my joy will remain with you while you abide in me. Doesn't get any better than that. But in order for us to live that way, we have to choose to do the right thing. Now let me tell you, the devil would have you believe that you are under his control. Amen? I've got you and you can't get away. Because the temptation is too much for you and you can't get away. But Jesus says in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. He that is dead, and we're dead because we're in Christ Jesus, he that is dead is free from sin. Sin cannot overpower you. So why does it seem like sin can overpower you? It's because you're waiting too long to try to escape from the sin. You see, the way of escape is way earlier than what you think it is. Sin begins to fester way before the act of sin even comes on your radar. You see, when we get proud, when we begin to make decisions contrary to the Word of God, when we begin to think thoughts that are not God's thoughts, they don't have to be evil thoughts, they're just not God's thoughts. They're not what God would have us to be thinking. We begin to reason incorrectly. That's where sin is at the door. And when that happens, the way of escape is to say, no, that is wrong thinking. Remember, Dr. Rogers used to call that stinking thinking. When we begin to lean in the wrong direction, right then is when we have to say that's wrong. And if we do, it's easy. God's grace is upon us, and we can walk right on down the road, and we won't even notice the temptation that we were freed from. But if we toy with it, we keep on saying, no, there's nothing wrong with this. I can think these thoughts. I can toy with this for a while. Then all of a sudden, when the temptation comes, it's too late. There's no way of escape because the way of escape was way back there. And you have to make your decision way in advance of the time when your lust takes over. When your own desires kick in on the same side of the temptation, you're going to lose. But you see, you can turn all that off early on. When you begin to realize, now you say, well, how do I know when I'm thinking the wrong way? Well, that's where the Word of God comes in. If you will familiarize yourself with the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. Remember that word in there in our text? When we think about the Word of God and we let the Word of God permeate our being, then whenever something comes up, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the truth. And when He does, that's your way of escape right there. You see, the truth will set you free. But in order for the truth to set us free, we have to embrace the truth. We have to align ourselves with the truth. We have to choose to align ourselves with the truth. And so here comes the thought. The Word of God is there. The still small voice says, that's not right. When you know it's not right, that's when you nip it in the bud. That's what it means to abide in Christ, folks. You know, we make it some mystical something or other where we're hanging on to Christ and all that. That's not what it's about. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Simple as that. And we keep his commandments step by step, inch by inch. We do not try to do it day by day. If you try to do it day by day, you're going to fall into sin. It has to be moment by moment. And as you go through the moments of your life, listen carefully for the Holy Spirit. Because He will direct you. You see, sin doesn't usually sneak up on us as sin. It comes in as sadness. It comes in as depression. It comes in as anxiety. It comes in as sorrow. Something else that gets us to think in the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with those feelings until we start thinking incorrectly because of those feelings. We begin to feel sad, then we start trying to make that go away by some of the thoughts that we think, we're getting in trouble. When God begins to tell us the truth, that's when we must embrace that truth. And God will set us free. And we are completely out from underneath the dominion of sin, folks. Don't let the devil trick you in that. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common unto man. You see, whenever we begin to sin, we put ourselves back under the bondage of sin. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 6, know you not that whomsoever you yield yourself service to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but that you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We have been set free. And if we've been set free, we need to live free and abide in Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the blessing itself. We know what it takes to be blessed. We must abide in Christ. But what is the blessing? He says here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a pretty good blessing, isn't it? He says here, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If you want to see a tree flourish, you put it right by a river where it can get plenty of nutrients and water. I dug a pond at my house, and we had a little willow tree. And the little willow tree became a bigger willow tree because it's right there at the pond. And it got that big around. I mean, in like 4 or 5 years. And it was like a giant had a soda straw just sucking all the water out of my pond. You could almost watch the level of the pond go down because that tree would just draw that water up out of that pond. I finally had to cut it down because it was drying my pond up. But it flourished because there was a ready supply of water. The Lord said, that's the way you'll be if you abide in me and you delight yourself in my word. That's a pretty good blessing. He says, you will bring forth your leaves and your fruit in your season. You know what that says to me? Steady living. Everything's coasted along. God's taking care of everything because sunrise, sunset. Seasons come, seasons go, and your leaves will not fail as you go through life. You see, that's a pretty good blessing. And then he says, whatever you do will prosper. Now, let me caution you here. This is not a way to get rich quick. God's prosperity is far away from the world's ideal of prosperity. What God wants for us is that we would have peace and joy and comfort. That we would have what we need to function in life, but with it a contentment. And so that is the promise that he gives us here, that whatever we do will prosper. Because God is leading us in what we do. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6 tells us that long life is given to those who love the Lord. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Now notice here, he says there is a connection between hiding God's law or God's word in our heart and having a long life. Excuse me. God is going to bless the efforts and the safety of those who love him and who hide his word in their heart. Another part of the blessing, not only is it long life, but there is love. The one thing that we need more than anything else is love. God's love for us, our love for one another. Love is very, very important in this life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 through 16 says this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Love is a part of the blessing that comes from abiding in Christ and in his word. When we live our lives abiding in Christ, we're going to love one another. And there is nothing like the fellowship of God's people who love one another. That is one of the things that is, I believe, one of the greatest blessings of our church, is the fact that we have so much love one for another. And that love is a gift. It is a blessing from God as we abide in his word. And I'll tell you another blessing that we may not recognize right off, and that is the light of Scripture that God has given us. There are so many people that do not have the truth. I did not know that till a few years ago. I began to talk to people of other religions, even other denominations. They just don't have the truth. They've been taught a certain way, and that certain way is not according to the Word of God, but they've been taught it so long that they think everything else is wrong. And it's hard to break through that. Whenever we have the light of God's Word, that is a blessing from God. It really is. And the Bible says that we are to search the Scriptures to make sure that what we're being taught is truth. That we are not to just take anybody's word for anything, whether it be me or any other preacher. You study the Word of God and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Because that's what is important. My opinion is worth zero. God's Word is truth. Psalm 119:105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I can't overstress the importance of the Word of God as far as direction for our lives. I get a question a lot of times, how do you know the will of God? And that's a hard question, because the will of God is constantly moving. You can't just nail it down, put God in a box, and say this is the will of God for everybody. If the will of God was all the same, Brother Grandy, we'd all be dairy farmers. You know, that's not God's will for all of us. And everybody has to walk a certain walk that God directs, decision by decision. And as we do that, God's will unfold in our life. The best way to know the will of God is abide in Christ and watch the will of God unfold in the rearview mirror. And you can see what God is doing in your life. You may feel like you're floundering around. You may feel like you don't know what the will of God is. But if you're abiding in Christ, you are having the will of God unfold in your life. Because God will direct you step by step. His word is a light to you. It is direction. And God will give us his will one little increment at a time. It doesn't come as an overall plan. He doesn't call you up and say, okay, here's what my plan is for your life. The next 10 years you'll do this. The next 10 years you'll do this. He doesn't do that. He didn't do that to Moses. He doesn't do it to us. Moses knew that he was to be the deliverer of the people of Israel. And so he was trained up in the house of Pharaoh. And after 40 years, he decided to go out and do a little rescuing. He ended up killing somebody. That caused him to go out into the wilderness. For the next 40 years, he was a shepherd. Now, 40 years is a long time. I mean, you can just pretty much say, well, I've changed my occupation after 40 years. I am now a shepherd. And then here comes God again. God said, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he could have very easily said, Lord, I'm a shepherd. I've been shepherding for 40 years. But he goes back, and now God uses him for another 40 years to take the children of Israel over to the promised land. He didn't have the overall plan until it unfolded before him. And we don't either. I asked somebody in a small town, I said, have you lived here all your life? And they said, not yet. I thought that was a pretty good answer. Whenever we follow the Lord, we just simply ask, what's your will for this decision? What's your will for the next decision? And if we do that, we will follow that light because God will reveal himself to us. But now he talks about another group of people. I call them the blind. Listen to what he says here in verses 4 through 6 of our text. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are the blind. Sometimes, even to the gospel, people are blinded. But there's a lot of Christians who are blinded too. They're saved by grace, but they live by sight. And they do whatever feels right to them, decision by decision. Every decision has a consequence. And it opens up all kinds of new decisions that have to be made. And every decision that's made after that opens up new decisions that have to be made. And they follow their own course. And he says here, they're like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Have you ever seen that happen? Whenever they're winnowing wheat, the chaff is real light, and the wind will just take it away. Paul refers to that, I believe it's in Timothy. It says that we are to be careful not to be cast about by every wind of doctrine, to be moved easily by anybody's influence. All of that is unwise. And it is blind. Now, why blind? Because the Word of God is not real to them. The Word of God is not where they're abiding. The Word of God is not what they hang on to. They just maybe have a copy of it, but it's never been opened. And they don't read it, and when they do, they don't understand it. And so they just throw it to the side and go on in their blindness. The problem is you only live here so long. And time runs out, and the next step is into hell. For the Christian who allows themselves to be blind because once they get saved, they say, all right, that's it. Now I'm going to go on with my life. I got things to do. I'm too busy to worry about trying to abide in Christ. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm saved. I got my fire insurance policy. I don't have to go to hell. What about that group? The Word of God is not just written to certain people. Everything in the Bible applies to every one of us. If a Christian lives like a sinner, they reap a lot of the benefits in this life of sinners. And whenever they live ungodly, they're going to find that it's a horrible life. And the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. One of these days, every one of us is going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account of what we have done and how we've lived our life. And if we have lived an ungodly life, we're going to watch all of our reward burn up. And if we're a Christian, we'll sneak into heaven so as by fire. You say, as long as I get in, that's all I care. With that attitude, that's about all you're going to get. But I guarantee you, when you go to heaven and that's all you've got, you're going to weep and wail because of the loss of what you could have had. You say, well, what is it I'm losing? I have no idea. The Lord does not tell us that, but He tells us how important it is when He says, don't lay up treasures on earth, lay up treasures in heaven. If it wasn't important, He wouldn't have said it. It's not okay to live your life in sin as a Christian. It's a foolish move. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's more foolish than a Christian living in sin is a lost person rejecting the gospel. That's the only thing. I will grant you that the lowest seat in heaven is better than the best seat in hell. But beyond that, living in sin for a Christian is absolute foolishness. It is wasting your eternity. Folks, if we're just talking about 50, 60 years, that's not a big deal. But whatever it is you lose forever. Whatever it is you give up forever. Weigh that against the few years you've got left on this earth, and then make your decision. The devil would have you believe, well, you can get the best of both worlds. You can enjoy all the sin you want to enjoy, and then whenever you die, you get to go to heaven anyway. You know what the Bible says about that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And folks, the ungodly shall perish. It is a dangerous thing to live an ungodly life, either as a Christian or as a lost person. As a lost person, if you just keep on in sin, you know what's going to happen? It's going to harden your heart. And pretty soon the gospel will mean absolutely nothing to you. And your fate will be sealed. Oh, you can hear the gospel, and God still pleads, but that old heart just says, not interested. You say, how would a person get that way? Just continue in sin. That's all it takes. Just keep on saying no to Jesus. Keep on saying no. Nope, not in it. Maybe a little later on. I'll think about it later. I'm going to enjoy my fun right now. Later on, I'll make my decision, and then I will decide whether I want to go to heaven or hell. But right now, I'm just having too much fun to stop. That's all it takes. And one day, you'll wake up, and you won't care one way or the other. And then one way you'll die, one day you'll die, and then you'll care. You see, the devil is sly at what he does. And he'd take every one of us to hell if he could. As far as getting the best of both worlds, let me tell you something. It is a hard life for the wicked. You may think, Christian, a little sin is just the spice of life. But I want you to know it makes for a very hard life. You give up way too much to dabble with sin. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And notice what he says. You may be sinning and everything seems to be going fine in your life and you're prosperous and all of that's going. But he says, there's an end to that. It doesn't matter how long you live. You lay that up against eternity and it's just a shadow. It just appears for a little while and it's gone away. You see, that's the reason it makes sense to serve God. Because all life is, and listen to me, all life is training for eternity. You're making decisions for your eternity right now. You're choosing what you're going to do throughout all eternity. If you choose to reject Jesus, if you choose to live your life any way you want to live it and totally ignore Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire by your own choice. And if you choose as a Christian to ignore Jesus and live your life in pleasure of sin, you're going to end up in eternity without something that God intended for you to have. I don't know what it is, but you're going to miss it. I promise you that. Living in sin, not abiding in Christ, makes for hateful relationships. Marriages are plagued by hateful relationships because of sin. Do you know that? Every time there's problems in a marriage, somebody, usually both parties, are sinning. Almost every time. Listen to Solomon's word on this, Proverbs 21, 9 and 10. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Now, you say, well, I wouldn't want to be in that kind of a marriage. I would never choose that kind of a wife. Those kind of wives are not married, they're created. And we create them with our own attitudes and our own sinfulness. You see, we do it to ourselves. And that's one of the problems that we face. It is hateful relationships. What we need to do is build our lives entirely on the Word of God, and our marriages will be a whole lot sweeter. Our children will grow up in a whole lot better atmosphere if we build our lives abiding in Christ. And God's Word makes it very simple for us. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. You ever thought about what that means? You can go put the plaque on your door, the house, and still serve the flesh. Because it's a moment-by-moment decision. Choose today who you're going to serve. And then about 20 minutes from now, you choose again. Because there'll be another opportunity to serve the flesh. We have to just keep on choosing to serve the Lord. I wish that God had decided when He saved us to seal our entire being and make us to where we couldn't sin. I would like that, but He didn't. What He says is, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. If you obey, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you disobey, then all the curse is upon you. You see, God gets all the glory when we choose to abide in Him because it is Christ's life that is manifest in us. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is abiding in Christ. And you see, the wicked have one thing to look forward to, and that's hell. Those who do not know Christ as Savior are on the road to hell. There's a whole lot of people, folks, sitting in churches this morning who are on the road to hell because they don't know the truth. They don't know the gospel. Most Christian people, and I use that word loosely, will tell you, I believe that I'm going to go to heaven because there's more good in my life than there is bad. Or at least some combination of that. That's not the gospel. We don't go to heaven by being good. If we did, we'd all go to hell. Because we're not good. There's only one good, and that's God. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And we come to Christ as a sinner. We have nothing to bring. There's nothing that we can hold on to and say, Lord, you need to save me because I'm a pretty good person. No, we say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he saves us by his grace. But those who miss that many times still think they're going to go to heaven because they try to do one or two good deeds for every bad deed that they do, and on and on and on and on. But you see, those people, some of them say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want God telling me how to live. I'm going to do my own thing. They're going to be surprised when they stand before God, and God says to them, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. They're going to say, but Lord, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. See all these good things we did. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Because that's not the way of salvation. It's not the good stuff that we do. So it becomes very dangerous for that Christian to assume that they can be a Christian and live ungodly lives. That's dangerous because you may be fooling yourself. You may have the wrong philosophy from the jump. The only way to be sure and be secure, according to Peter, is to abide in Christ. He says, if you don't, you're going to end up not even knowing whether you were washed from your old sins. So it behooves us, those of us who know Christ, to live in Christ. To live in obedience, to abide. In order to do that, we're going to have to delight ourselves in the law of God. We're going to have to know His Word and adhere to His Word. Listen to Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. That's one thing in the future I'm not looking forward to. I am not looking forward to that day when the lost are brought up out of hell to stand before God. And they've already experienced the wrath of God in hell. And they're going to be begging and pleading and crying and wishing and hoping. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Begging all the way. And if we have any influence whatsoever in this life for evil, shame on us. If anything you do in your life causes other people to sin, shame on you. And shame on me. When God has laid out for us such a wonderful opportunity to just abide in Him, and trust Him with all of our heart, and be that influence, whatever His purpose is, until He comes back for us. The highest honor that any Christian can get is when Jesus comes back if he says to us, enter in, good and faithful servant. That's the highest honor we can ever get. But in order to get that, we're going to have to be good and faithful servants and abide in Christ. But you know what? It's not a hardship to do that. It is a wonderful blessing. Blessed is that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, you tell us that your word will never return to you void, but it will accomplish that for which you sent it. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts this morning. There's one here that's never received Christ as Savior. I ask, Lord, that you would cause them to respond to the invitation. Come before you and ask forgiveness of their sins and receive Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray for the Christian who is struggling with sin, that they might learn to abide in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.